Let's pray. Father, as we enter into this season of Advent, a season of expectation for what is to come, we pray that we wouldn't miss a moment. Lord, that each and every minute, each and every day would be a blessing that we see from you. And we'd use them all as opportunities to prepare our hearts for the coming of our King, our Savior Jesus, and that we would trust that to be true. Knowing that changes everything for us, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as Joel mentioned, we are headed into a new series here called From the Mouths of Angels. And for the next 4 weekends, we're going to look at 4 different accounts where an angel speaks a message to another. And as we look at these accounts, we're going to be getting prepared for the greatest message of all. Of course, that is the coming of our Savior Jesus. But before we get there, I want to do something a little bit fun. How many of you like to text message out there? A few of you, some nervous laughter. A few of you do. So I'm going to give you some different messages that you might be receive by text. And just think about how you feel when you would receive this message or these messages. See you soon. See you soon. So this last week was Thanksgiving, and we had a whole bunch of folks over at our house. It was a good time. And throughout the day, we were getting messages, hey, we're going to be late, or as Kendall said, our kids are napping till 1. But then we'll see you soon. And when you see this message, when you receive this message, it builds some anticipation, doesn't it? Like, oh, yes, that's exciting. Maybe some of you had great reunions this week with family or friends, or people you hadn't seen for a long time got to say, see you soon. And hopefully that brought about excitement and not dismay, although I realize that is also an option. Here's the second one. This one is really great. I love you. Isn't it wonderful to receive that text? Especially if you're a parent, and kids, you can earn some good brownie points. If you text to your parents, your mom or dad, I love you, there is nothing better than to receive that as a parent. In fact, every once in a while, Peyton down here, she'll come up to me, and she likes to call me Father now for some reason, very formal. And she'll say, Father, I love you. And she'll give me a big hug and a big kiss. She just did it back there a few moments ago. And is there really anything better than to know that you're loved? Because when somebody loves you, that means you must be important, right? That you have value. Oh, that there's something about you that is worth loving. And so this simple message can really change everything. I know we say that love word a lot in our culture, but think about what that means when you hear, I love you. This next one's exciting. Not all of you have experienced this message, but you can pretend. And hopefully you didn't receive it by a text either. I'm pregnant. Now, even if you haven't experienced this, you can think you know what you would feel like when you receive this, but I'll just tell you, you have no idea until you actually go through this. In one moment in time, who could ever think that you could be so overwhelmed by both fear and joy all at once? Joy about, wow, we're having a baby, and fear because, you know what, I'm in charge of another human being. I can't even take care of myself. And now I got to raise a child. So this elicits some feelings. I don't like this next one very much. Are y'all with me still? No. Who likes to be said no to? We could probably use the word no in our culture a little bit more often than we do. But most often when I think of the word no, I think of a dead end or you can't do that or a failure. And so that's what that sort of elicits to me. Now, this next one's really fun. My mom was right over there. She got an iPhone a few months ago. Yeah, very advanced. And then she started to text, and to text a lot. I started to get texts at all different times of the day and night. And one time at 3 a.m, my phone went off, vibrating, and there was a text from my mother. But here was the message. It was the empty text bubble. Have you ever gotten that one before? I don't even know how you do this, but I guess it's a possibility. And when I received the empty text bubble, at first I was sort of like, what is she doing? But then I got a little nervous. It was 3 a.m. What is the message that she is trying to send to me? You know, sometimes men and women, we communicate differently, but this meant nothing to me. Are they okay? Did something? Did something go wrong? And when we get this message, you know what it can do? It can create doubt. It can create doubt. So my name is Thomas. And I was named after a couple of uncles and some other Thomases that were in my parents' lives. And I like my name. Some people don't like their names. I kind of like my name. I think it's got a good ring to it. But it also comes with a stigma attached to it. Some of you, you're Bible people and you've been in church and you know that there was a disciple named Thomas who followed Jesus. And what's his nickname? Doubting Thomas. So here's the deal. Just let me clear something up real quickly here. None of the disciples believed that Jesus rose from the dead until they saw him with their own eyes. It just happened to be that Thomas wasn't with all the other disciples when Jesus first appeared after his resurrection. So they were like, Thomas, you wouldn't believe it. Jesus actually rose from the dead. And Thomas is like, you're right. I won't believe it until I stick my hand in his side, until I put my hands where are my fingers in the holes where the nails went through his hands. And they're like, but you got to believe. You got to believe. And then Jesus shows up. And he does that, and he goes, Thomas, do you want to stick your hand in my side? And Thomas is like, I guess I'm caught, okay? But ever since then, he's been known as Doubting Thomas. Now, at my baptism, I received this plaque, and I prefer this definition of Thomas much better. Seeker of what? Truth. And I would like to think that throughout my life, and I continue to be someone who seeks after truth. And as much as I'd like to say that's who I am and that's what I do and that's what I'm all about, I also have to admit there are times when I'm a doubter. Anybody else ever doubt? You do? Okay. Sometimes I doubt my ability to be a pastor, much less a pastor in a really large church. And I go, what in the world is God thinking? I wake up in the morning and my hair is like this and I got bad breath and all that stuff. And I go, how can I be a pastor? Are you kidding me? I often doubt it when the Vikings get a big lead, if they can hold on to that lead. I think some others probably doubt that too. When I'm burying a child, and I've had to do that several times, man, I doubt God's goodness in that moment and his presence. And go, where are you? Right? Doubting is a real part of our lives. Wouldn't it be great, go to the next slide, wouldn't it be great if as disciples of Jesus we never had any doubts? Wouldn't that be great? And it was just all faith all the time and, you know, never had any questions or any fears or any doubts about anything that goes on in our world. But don't we all have doubts that creep in? I mean, don't we all face circumstances we don't understand? Let's raise your hand if you've been there before. We've all been there. Right? And in those moments, we wonder, is it okay to doubt? Have you ever wondered that? The vicar and I had a long theological conversation this week. Is it a sin to doubt? Can you have both faith and doubt at the same time? Is that even possible? Well, 2,000 years ago, an angel, imagine that, you're probably doubting that this ever even took place, had a conversation with a guy named Zechariah, and it was a conversation that left him feeling a little bit doubtful and having questions, even though he was a priest, even though he was the guy up front. And yet we learn through this story that faith and doubt, they can coexist because God's timing is perfect. The problem for us is it's God's timing, not whose timing, not ours. And that makes it hard, doesn't it? Because if you're like me, you're impatient, and you want his timing to be our timing. But we see how his timing is perfect in this text. And so what I want to do this morning is just work our way through the reading that you heard on the sermon bumper video. It's Luke chapter 1. If you want to turn a Bible there, you can follow along. And we're gonna look at the story of Zechariah. And by doing so, here's what I think is going to happen. Hopefully, we'll find some things that we can relate to, and we'll find some things that will be stuff that we can grab onto here in our own lives. One of the first things that we learned, and I just mentioned it, was that Zechariah was a priest. He was a priest, but not only that, his wife Elizabeth, she came from the line of Aaron, and Aaron was a Levite. Levites did. Anybody know? They were priests. That's all they did. So you've got Zechariah the priest and his wife who's raised in the priest's family, and they're priests, and this is what they do, and they're good people. In fact, in verse 6, we read that Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. Now, this doesn't mean they were perfect, okay? Think about David, King David. It was said that he was a man after God's heart, but he was far from perfect. And so Zechariah and Elizabeth, before you put them on a different plane, way better than you, they were just like you and me. They had a heart that was set toward God, and they were righteous in his eyes, and it was important for them to follow his commandments. He said, that's how we're going to live our lives. And by all accounts, that's what they did. But there was a problem. The problem was they had no kids. Now, in our culture today, there's still sort of stigma attached to that, like it's weird if somebody doesn't have kids, like I wonder why, maybe they can't, or they decided not to. But in that time and culture, if you didn't have a kid, it was because for some reason God wasn't blessing you. This is a problem when you're the priest, and the priest's wife, who's been, you know, grown up as the with all the other priests, and you seem to be faithful and righteous. What's going on? And so doubts crept in from others, like, what's wrong with them? What are they kind of doing in secret that God's not blessing them? Reminds me of a story. Jesus is out with his disciples, and they come across a man who was born blind. Do you remember this? And the disciples go, what did this man or his parents do? What sin did they commit that he was born blind? And Jesus said, they didn't commit any sin. That's not why he was born blind. He was born blind so that the glory of God would be shown in his life. And then Jesus healed him. But folks in this day had this idea that if there was something wrong in your life, you were doing something bad, that God wasn't blessing you. And so here is Elizabeth, and here is Zechariah, unable to have kids because they were both, don't you love this, very old. We don't know what that means. They were just both very old. That's what the text says. No doubt they had doubts, right? And they had been praying for a kid, don't you think? You think that some of you have prayed that same prayer, maybe for you or your children or for others? They were praying that prayer, and they prayed it, and then they doubted, and they prayed, and they doubted, and they prayed, and doubted. Well, one day, Zechariah is working at the temple with his order of priests. And what they would do is they would head on into the sanctuary, and they'd burn some incense, say some prayers, and they would choose the person who was going to do this through a very scientific way. They would cast lots. And so the lot, once you know it, it fell on Zechariah. It was his turn to go in, and people are outside. They're gathered, and they're praying. And then all of a sudden, an angel appears to Zechariah. And what's his response? Excited or scared? Scared. Like, I need a new tunic. Scared, okay? Because this is what happens when you stand in the presence of holiness. And we'll see that throughout this series. The angel shows up and the people are scared because an angel is a picture of God's holiness. And it's right there and it shows us our own sinfulness and failure. It's just strange. And so Zechariah is afraid. But then the angel says what an angel always says. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. He says, no, I bring you good news. God has heard what? Your prayer. God has heard your prayer, Zechariah. And his timing is perfect. Remember, his time is not your time. And I remember you've been praying about this for a really long time, and you've been praying, and you've been doubting, and you've been praying and doubting, and now you've stopped praying because you both are very old, whatever that means. It's going to be impossible for you to conceive children. And so you've given up on this, but I bring you good news. God has heard your prayer. And Elizabeth is going to give birth to a son, and not just any son, but this son of yours is going to prepare the way for the Messiah. And so there's some special rules I have in place for your son. Like, he's not going to drink alcoholic drinks because he's been set apart. His hair is going to grow long, and he's going to live out in the desert. We didn't get this in this part. What's he going to eat? John the Baptist eats what? Locusts and honey. Doesn't that sound good? This is your son, John, and how exciting. Not just Zechariah, not just any child, but he's going to do some really, really special stuff. And how does he respond? How can I be sure this will happen? Because we're old. We're very old. And my wife is also well along in years. That's another way of translating very old, I guess. And Gabriel's like, what do you mean? How can you be sure? I'm Gabriel. I'm the angel of the Lord. I come from his very presence. I come from the presence of God, and I speak to you the message that he gave me to tell you. What other sign do you need? But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. This is a 9-month timeout. All right, kids, we got some kids in here. All right, you think the 3 or 5 minute timeout is a long time? This is 9 months of silence. Some of you wives are wishing your husbands would get this timeout. But here's what's interesting about this. This phrase, since you didn't believe what I said, it can also be translated because you chose not to trust what you knew to be true. Because you chose not to trust what you knew to be true. Isn't it amazing how our circumstances can cause us to not trust what we know to be true? So because of that, he's silent for 9 months. And then he comes out of the temple, and the people are like, what happened? And they're gesturing, and he can't talk, and it's just really awkward and bizarre. And for 9 months, he doesn't say anything. But Elizabeth is pregnant. And there's some other stuff that happens in there. The birth of Jesus is foretold, and then Mary's pregnant. She visits Elizabeth, and John leaps for joy. You might remember that. And then we come to verse 57, and we see it's time for Elizabeth's baby to be born. And her relatives and neighbors and friends are all really excited because, remember, she couldn't have kids, and now she has a kid. And so they're celebrating with her. And you can imagine over these 9 months, there's baby showers, and there's lunches, and there's gifts, and there's excitement about what God has done. And then the baby comes, and there's no name for 8 days because you don't name until the day of circumcision. And so it's circumcision time, and it's time to name the baby. And all the friends and family members are like, let's name him Zechariah after Dad. Elizabeth says, we can't do that. His name has to be John. And they go, you're crazy. I don't think that epidural has worn off yet. There's something wrong with you because you don't have anyone in your whole family that's named John. You can't name him John. Let's talk to Dad, the silent one. And so they say, hey, Zechariah, what should we name him? And he grabs something to write on, whatever that looked like in that day. And he says, his name will be John. And immediately he could talk. You notice the first thing he did? I don't think the answer's up there for you. You had to be listening. He started praising God. How cool is that? He had a long time to think about that moment. There was a lot of pent-up joy that he wanted to speak out for what God had done for him. And then this is great. The news spread all around the Judean hills. And everyone who heard about it reflected on these events, and they asked, what will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was surely upon him in a special way. So there's lots that we can learn, I think, from this little account. Let's talk about a few of those ways that we can learn about. The first is, again, I already mentioned it. Isn't it amazing how our circumstances can cause us to question God? God, will you come through? Have you ever asked that question? I know I have. Here's Zechariah, a priest, a faithful priest, a prayer. An angel shows up and says, here's what's going to happen, and still his circumstances made him wonder, will you come through? Did you know that you can doubt and follow Jesus at the same time? Did you know you don't have to have all the answers? Did you know that? Isn't that kind of nice? There was this woman Way back in Martin Luther's day, 1500s, remember we just celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Reformation? Not Martin Luther King Jr., Martin Luther, who started the Protestant Reformation. And this lady was questioning her faith. And she came up to Luther and she said, I'm not sure if I have enough faith, if I believe enough. And Luther said to her, well, do you believe in God the Father, that he's the creator of heaven and earth? And she said, yeah, I believe that. And they said, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Went through the Apostles' Creed. And she said, yeah, I believe that. And they said, do you believe that the Holy Spirit is the creator and sustainer of your faith? And she said, yeah, I believe that. And then he said, well, your faith is greater than mine. The story of Jesus, a man had a son filled with demons. He wanted his son to be healed. And Jesus said to him, with faith, anything is possible. Do you believe? And the man said, I do believe, but help me overcome my what? My unbelief. Right? These two can live in tension. But what if in those times of doubt, if we ran toward God instead of running away from him? What if we remembered all those times in our lives when he was faithful? And then what if news would spread through the countryside about how God has been faithful in our lives? How that might help others. How in their times of doubts, our stories can encourage them in their stories. Because here's the deal. God is always on time. As hard as that is, God is always on time. This story is a part of the bigger Christmas story. And it moves us toward the birth of Christ. And there's these great words in Galatians 4 that Paul writes. Let's read them together. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. I don't know what made 2,000 years ago the right time. But in God's time, that was just the right moment in history to send his son, born under the law to redeem those who are under the law so that we could be called children of God, and that is who we are. So yeah, you're going to have doubts. You're going to have questions. You're going to have fear. But in those moments, remember that this is true. This is true. And don't doubt what you know to be true. Amen? Let's pray. Father, this world is hard. It's full of sin and brokenness and pain and sorrow and questions and fears and doubts. It can be overwhelming. In those moments, help us by your Holy Spirit to know that this is true, that you sent your son, Jesus, that he lived the perfect life, died, and rose from the dead, that we would become children of God, and that is what we are by faith through the Holy Spirit. Father, in our times of darkness and doubt, help us to know that this is true. Today and always, we pray this in the name of Jesus.